What's up, everybody? It is your girl Victoria, and today I have a special guest. Her name is Shaylin of Book Mecca.
Yes, okay. Yes, Book Mecca.
Awesome, and this is served on Sundays. I also have my homegirl Lanice behind the cameras doing her thing, and we're going to get into the topic of literacy today. But before we do all of that, I do just want to check in with everybody and just see how your day is going, how the week went for you. What's your mental state? Whatever you want to say. How are you?
I'm doing good. I had a great week. I ended my week before with like our first hike and read, where we took books and did a hike and all that. So I was feeling really energized and ready for the week and pumped. So it's been good. It's been good.
All right. And then how about you, ladies?
Honestly, I'm really proud. Got a festival coming up, and I'm cranking out pieces left and
yes,
right.
She is.
There we go.
Good.
Yes,
she
is. Good. It's been a wonderful week.
Yes, that is so good to hear. For me, the week went by really fast. I'm not gonna lie. I quit my 9-to-5. I need to stop.
Wow.
I know, right? Class.
But not really.
Cool.
Really like, toxic leave.
Yeah. It wasn't even toxic. It's just when you're a creative. You know,
you
don't really gel that well.
I understand that now. I don't like
talking
it for people.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
It's just not for me. And then being told what to, like, I can do a job, like, you know, that lets me have creative freedom, lets me, like, really, like, you know, grow. Exactly. And I've had two jobs like that, but then they ended up being toxic. So,
yeah.
But, you know, it's not meant to last. Like, I feel like 9-to-5s a lot of times is really just to teach you lessons and whatnot.
Exactly.
So you can have certain disciplines for
and
yourself.
Skill sets that you can take
yeah,
somewhere else.
Exactly. So I was just like, you know what? If I don't quit, like, I will always be working a job. Like, I need to quit and do what I need to do. So yeah, I quit, and I don't really have anything going right now, but I feel like something is about to go.
And at least you took the leap.
No,
right,
I understand
so.
That was the beginning of the year, and
no,
I'm painting.
So. Okay, see, go
there
ahead.
You go, right?
Sometimes you just need to be in survival mode. You know what I mean?
That part.
So that way you can really get your stuff started. Because I wouldn't get it started if I have like something to fall back on.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's just how I operate. But anyways, I came back from a road trip too. By the way, you guys go on a road trip if you want. You know, if you want to, but like I strongly suggest it, just because I felt like it really cleared. You know, my mental state, I don't know. Like, I felt like I really got in touch with myself because, you know, all you're doing is thinking. Like, yeah, you can put a podcast on or you can put some music on, but at the end of the day, you start tuning it out when you're driving for 10 hours and you get into your own thoughts and you're just trying to think things through. And I think that's why I came back and I was like, I'm quitting. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. So that's what happened. But anyways, you know, today we're going to be talking about books and literacy, and I just wanted to know, like, what is it that you do exactly?
That's a good question, because everybody never knows what I do half the time. So, Book Mecca is an online Black bookstore and a literary platform for all things Black lit. So I wanted a space where I wouldn't have to dig for Black authored books. I wouldn't have to look in just in February for all the Black authored books. I wouldn't have to know the authors up front to find the books. So that was what I first wanted to do, start an online, almost like a curated bookstore. So I did that. And then when COVID hit, I couldn't do a lot of book-themed events in person like I wanted to. And so I said, well, why don't I just start talking to people online, the authors, and asking them about their work? And so I went from the books I've been reading, and I started doing author interviews. I started hosting online platforms for just book-themed events and content and all types of ideas. And it just started from there. So now it's a platform to amplify all types of Black art and literature, Black-owned businesses, and showcase that literature has an impact in every part of our lives. So that's my goal.
That is amazing. No, I love that.
Thank you.
Tell us where you're from and, like, how did you stumble into it again? Like, what am I trying to ask? So you started it before the pandemic, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so what like was your main goal again?
Well, I started because of my youngest daughter. My youngest daughter loves to read.
Mm-hmm.
And she fell in love with this trilogy, this series of books. I can't remember the exact name. Children of Blood and Bone series.
Okay.
And that's like New York Times bestselling authors. It's
heard that
they're turning
really,
into a
really
movie.
Good.
I mean, amazing. The author is great. read the first book. So we thought, okay, we'd find that second book easy. No problem. Let's go into the library, find it. Mm-hmm. It was one copy, backlog order. Mm. It's like, okay, we live in Frisco. So, yeah. So I went to Plano and went a little further to Dallas. Kept finding the same thing. So I said, well, maybe it's the libraries because they don't have that many copies. Went to Barnes & Noble's. No hate on Barnes & Noble, but I went to all the big bookstores. Yeah. There were a few copies, if any. Or there would be weeks to find them. Or they'd have to. And so I started asking the librarians and started asking the bookstore managers, how do you decide on the books that you have? I mean, if it's based on awards and accolades, this book should be at the front of the shelf. Mm-hmm. Like, why is it not there? Why do I have to hunt for this book? They're like, well, if you want to tell us the book to order, then it's like, I shouldn't have to tell you the books to order.
Dang, it makes you not want it anymore.
Yes, exactly. And so I kept finding this over and over again. So me and my youngest daughter, too, she's dyslexic. So we started this thing over the summer saying, why don't you write down all these Black authors and try and find them, like a hunt. Mm-hmm. So we went to the libraries, went to the bookstores, same thing every single time. So you know, I just was so frustrated. And my cousin just laughed and said, why don't you just do it yourself? Why don't you create your own little bookstore? So I was like, you know what? I will. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that myself.
Yeah. That's like the trope of a Black woman, right? Always ready to start something. And this was kind of like a mother-daughter type of business, kind of like how it started out.
Well, yeah, it started with just her. I wanted to make sure she could get the books that she wanted to read when she wanted to. And she didn't have to wait weeks at a time to find the books just because they were by Black authors.
Right. Was that like a bonding experience for you guys?
It was. And then she read all the books and now she doesn't like my recommendations anymore. She's like, I can find my own books, Mom. I'm like, okay, kid.
Dang. I mean, it happens. You know, it happens. And she'll grow up and like she'll look back on it and be like, dang, I really started something with my mom, like, or I was the catalyst of of something that my mom started, which is something to be proud of, to be honest. Yeah.
They still come back every now and then, especially when their assignments at school, they have to find certain books based on like suspense or certain topics, and they ask me for recommendations instead of what's at the school.
Okay. What's your favorite type of book to read?
Ooh, historical fiction.
What? I've never heard someone say that.
Really? I love historical fiction. Yes, because it's so close to reality, you have to like look at it and go, is this true? Or yes. I know, and it just makes you question reality, and then you wind up digging down these pathways into your own history that you're looking into. One of the books I just read for this past month made me do that. I had a whole playlist. It took me forever to read the book because I was looking up songs and looking up stories.
No, that's so cool. That book,
yes, Donnie Walton, The Final Revival of Opal and Nev. Beautiful book. I mean, it's fun from the beginning to the end. You'll love it.
So you're saying like it caused you to go down the rabbit hole a little bit.
Yeah, but a good way.
In a good way.
In a good way. Because you go back to the story because it keeps you enthralled and engaged.
Right.
Because you can't tell. It just feels so real the whole time.
You know what's funny? When I was like a kid, you remember the tax test or whatever? Yes. The reading tax test was my favorite. I was so ready for it. I was so ready to read it and like edit it.
I have never heard that.
I was a nerd. I'm not even gonna lie.
I ain't never heard of nobody wanting to take a test.
No, it was okay. You know they had some bomb stories in there. Okay, so
can't lie.
They were really good. I was thoroughly entertained whenever it was the reading tags, and I was good at math, so I like that math one too, so whatever. But it's okay, it's a-okay.
So props.
I remember you mentioned before we started that you are from a small town.
Yes.
So what were like the reading challenges in a small town? Because I know like growing up, and I'm not from a small town, but like my high school had like 4,000 people, right? So obviously not a small town, but the books that we were assigned, it was obviously books catered to one demographic.
Yeah. Yes.
So I want to know what it was like in a small town, if it can be like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But is it worse though?
I would say it's worse coming from a little bitty town in East Texas, because you didn't get a lot of the new authors, period. So all your books were dusty and old. Like, it didn't matter because the whole town's dusty and old. Like, they don't... Jefferson, Texas. Yes.
Got family in Winona and Big Sandy.
Okay,
Sandy, so,
yeah. The over there in that site? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing over there.
Exactly. That's why I know.
Dusty books.
Dang. Okay.
Yes.
Did you like reading growing up?
I loved to read. And my mom loved to read, too. So we always had books around. But I think we were talking earlier about punishments and getting in trouble. If I got in trouble, there wasn't too many punishments they could do to me. Because I'd be like, I don't care. I can just go read a book.
Right.
And I'd go to my room and read my book and be fine. But I loved reading at that time, like thrillers and murder mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really got into like Richard Wright, and I stumbled across James Baldwin. I don't even know how I did that in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I like him. He's my favorite author now. So it's just random books everywhere just for my mom. And she loves Scrabble. So
Scrabble, my mom
read.
Was all about Scrabble. So that is, I think that is like a reader's favorite game for sure. Or like Words with Friends. If you remember
that. My grandmother like crossword puzzles.
Crossword puzzles. Yes.
When you said road trips, that's all I remember. Hey, I'm going to sit in this bag. I'm going to do some Sudoku. And now my favorite game is Mahjong. So if you're talking to me, I'm probably sitting on my phone playing Mahjong.
People need to bring back the popularity in Scrabble and Words with Friends. Like, it was a good time.
Exactly. My mom would not let me win.
No, she's not.
I think I was in high school when I finally beat her. And it was only by a few points.
Dang.
She would kill you every time.
Man.
Be like, that's
no
not work.
And my mom's a teacher, so she definitely like was showing us up. And I think she made up her own rules for a little bit
because
we were kids, so we didn't know what the words were.
See,
moms just be cheating.
Y'all cheaters.
They just be cheating.
Are you sure that's how you spell that? Are you sure?
Bro,
I'm challenging.
No,
this is a word.
I'm
challenging.
I know for a fact this is a word. Sometimes I can spell, and that's one I can spell.
And don't let us bring out the Google search, because we will Google search this word and make sure it's a real one. Yeah, I love Scrabble. That's a good time. Thanks for bringing that up. Let's play it. Like, I need to play it drunk.
Now that would be interesting.
I want to see how people, like, you know, how their mindset be working when they're drunk. You know
spelling
what I'm saying?
Spelling the same word over and over.
Stop. Yes, I can see that. You mentioned earlier that reading was like a punishment.
I loved it.
It was a punishment. You
love the punishment.
But what do you guys think about, like, you know, a punishment being that? Like, do you think that takes away the joy in reading from a kid?
Honestly, it kind of did, because after a while I got tired of reading the same books. I don't have nothing else to read. I've spent all this time in trouble or not doing anything else that, all right, I'm kind of bored of reading now. Like, I haven't, and it took a few years for me to find books that I was interested in, like, oh, I can sit and read this all day, all over again. Like, when I say years, I mean, if I wasn't trying to read for school, I wouldn't read nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be like that. What was I going to say? I worked at a job, and one of the punishments that I would have the kids do is like they would have to like run laps or whatever. And I just remember like the site director was so against it. I didn't even know she was against it, but she was so against it. I remember her like coming up to me like, Victoria, I can't believe that you would do that. These kids are not supposed to be running. And, you know, like that takes away the fun of what like it is in athletics. But I'm just like, I'm confused. Like, this is a, you know, an educational type of environment. So it's an educational type of environment, so I'm just like, I don't get why reading would be an appropriate punishment, but like running laps wouldn't be. But you know what? The kids don't like to run laps. That's why they had to run laps, okay?
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. What kids like running laps? They was tired after the first sport. Well, unless you had a kid that was like,
always
hyper energetic.
There's
always a run. Stop. Just doing too much. You're doing too much.
But But yeah, so it's just weird that like educators don't see that with reading, because I think I remember like being in school and that was like a punishment a lot. So what's your thoughts on it?
Reading for punishment, I would never use that as punishment, because to me, reading is nothing but enjoyable. And
right.
The minute you make someone do something, they don't enjoy it anyway.
True.
I would find something else.
That's true. Are your eyes blue?
No, they change colors, but never blue.
Really?
Maybe it's the tint. They're greenish.
Okay, they're
most
so pretty.
Of the time
I don't know why. I just noticed. The heck?
Thank you.
Yeah, very pretty. Okay, awesome. So before we dive deeper into more book topics, I wanted to go ahead and see what was going on in pop culture and see, like, you know,
no
what's
problem.
In the pot. So we do this corny little thing where, you know, we pretend the pot is sizzling and kind of just do spirit fingers. You don't have to do it. Yeah. So, I know. All right. We got three things cooking today.
Yeah,
can you do
that
part? I do. You want one? I know it's cooking.
Like,
it's just that it's a little bit sweet. You want a dum-dum?
No,
okay. She good. All right, cool. All right, so first topic, thoughts, just whatever. It's not even related to books. Alec Baldwin. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
Yeah.
But him accidentally shooting someone on set.
But the fact that they yelled cold gun when they hand pinned the gun is kind of just like, what really happened?
I was trying to figure out, why were you aiming at her? Like, she's not even an actor. Like, I'm trying to understand.
Like, what is really going on with all of this?
Yes.
Because she was recording, so I'm thinking they were getting an angle and he just fired it. But what do you mean by cold gun?
Okay, so technically, from what I read, when they hand out props, it's supposed to mean that there's no live ammunition in the gun. So, no hot rounds, you can't actually kill somebody.
She died.
Right.
So.
They were saying that, well, this is what I heard, that they were supposed to be blanks, but
mm-hmm.
at the range that she was shot, she would have been hurt anyway.
Now, that's what I was thinking, because I have heard about some actors using blanks and still being like seriously wounded.
Mm-hmm.
It's still like really thick packed material. So
yeah,
you can get hurt. Like
people
get bruised even with bulletproof vests on. You're gonna get hurt with a blank. So how forceful was this blank coming out this gun this time?
And I'm trying to figure out, all this time y'all have filmed and the show's been running, y'all have this gun. Why?
I'm
say real suspect.
I'm
just
confused.
All of it.
I'm confused because I never knew that they used real guns.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
I really thought that these were like manufactured fake guns.
Nah.
Editing on point type
stuff.
Sometimes
they'll use live rounds. Sometimes, like in safe precautions, yeah, they'll use live rounds. But a lot of times they're using blanks and.
That's a lot of trust to put in people.
But nobody's supposed to be like that close without protection either. So she's behind the camera. She's not thinking, oh, I got to wear a bulletproof vest or something. It's a blank. What am I going to do that?
It is really sad. And none of the family blames him. You know what I'm saying? That's weird.
I mean,
I don't know why that's weird to me.
But also, how could you blame if I've been given the gun and everybody's heard you say that it's not supposed to have live rounds? How can I blame you? Yeah, you're going to feel like crap the rest of this time, but just in the moment,
I would be like,
he
killed my daughter.
I'm still upset, and I know he's going to be upset for the rest of his life, but in the back of my mind, I'm also like, dang.
Right.
You couldn't control that either. So.
Right.
But it also makes me want to watch the show now.
Right.
Because now the show should probably be over. They should, like, cancel it.
Y'all gonna have to do that.
That is really awkward. And you know what's funny is that it's not funny, but
dark sense of humor. We're sorry.
Yeah. So I heard that the crew was walking out that day because of the work conditions.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, they were supposed to be put in a hotel that's nearby the set, but they were having to drive 50 miles every day after they had already signed contracts and agreed and whatnot. Then they had to work outside in the heat and the dust and whatnot.
That's a lot.
And so they were they walked off set. So I'm like, is this like a disgruntled worker? Like, they planned something? That's what I'm saying. Like, when there's so much disruption like that, I'm like,
are you sure this was a cold gun? Because I feel like you could have got this from anywhere.
Right. Like, maybe you
not even intentionally.
But then they said the lady that died, that she was advocating for them. So I'm like, that wouldn't make sense then. So what are they trying to do? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just two terrible coincidences happening at once.
That's
I don't know. Where there's smoke, there's fire. No, where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, so there's something wrong. Like, what's going on?
And I want to know. It's Hollywood keep a lot of secrets.
Right. And it's either negligence. Because, you know, like, how people get when they're not getting paid enough, they're not going to do their jobs.
Exactly.
So it's either negligence or somebody was pissed. And so they put that.
Somebody had to go. I'm sorry.
Man. But, yeah, that is an unfortunate situation. So blessings to her and her Passover and as well as her family. So the next one was about Lil Nas X. What do y'all think about Lil Nas X? You know?
Which way are we... Did he do something recent?
I know, right? What did he do? I didn't even keep it up.
He was just trolling Lil Boosie. I thought it was hilarious. I'm like,
I don't know nothing about that.
He's no longer gay. That troll, because I think that was the last
time. No.
Yeah, for a hot second, he was talking about he was no longer gay. And
yeah, I don't keep up with him like that. I couldn't even tell you much about him.
What he said was, what did he say? He said, me and Lil Boosie about to drop a song.
Oh, no, that would be amazing. I would listen to that.
I'm like, what great marketing. Just a couple of slurs and you guys are making a song together. That's awesome. No, it's good.
You know it's going to have a fire bounce beat. Like,
right. But Lil Boosie didn't have the best response to it. So.
I'm sure. He can't take a joke.
He really can't.
He can't take a joke, especially not by him. Mm-mm. Take everything serious.
Yeah, so when things happen like that, I wonder if, like, there was some type of unfortunate event like that went on. Because I don't get why he's so hypersensitive to Lil Nas X. It's actually really weird. Like, I know some homophobes, but they don't be on the level that Boosie
be
on.
Boosie stay on Witch Mode all day.
But he's hilarious at the same time. So I'm just like, how do I find the balance?
Entertainment.
It's the core of entertainment. Dang it.
And what do y'all think about that? Like, entertainers where you don't necessarily like their character, like the Nicki Minaj situation, what's going on with her? I'm like, ugh. But I still love Nicki's like personality. So I'm like, I'm still a fan. Do you guys stay fans of people or do you take into account like the things that they do behind the scenes?
It depends on how bad the stuff they're doing behind the scenes.
Exactly. Right. True.
If it's a lot, I'm like, I feel bad even listening.
A lot of people can't. See, are you a non-counselor?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't even look for it. I try not to even add it to my playlist.
I try not to, but you know
where you hear it the most? You hear it at the family functions.
Family reunion.
Yeah, they're not taking off steps.
I'll be forgetting songs are by him, though.
Until they start playing and I start bobbing my head. And I'm like, no. Right. You're not supposed to be listening to this.
They still flying in the schools.
They still singing that in school?
Yes.
I bet you they still singing that remix too.
They remix some kids.
Look, I mean, he's real close. He might end up in Capitol.
He's about to expose everybody too. So I'm ready to see.
How y'all feel about that?
I feel, who do you think? A lot of rappers, a lot of old school rappers for sure, because they threw him under the bus real quick. And something about that, I don't know, it threw me off. I'm like, that's kind of weird. Why are y'all trying to separate yourself now and not before? So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he really got some tea.
I want to
see. We're going to see. Last topic on this Hot Topics is the Arlington shooter. Don't know if you guys heard about the school shooting. So, it started off, I actually talked about this on the show like 2 weeks ago, and I know me and the girl who was here, we were talking about how, you know, reports went out that he was being bullied and whatnot. And then the police came out and said he wasn't bullied. And what was funny is I told people, like, I don't think he was bullied either. I didn't want to be a hater, but I was like, I don't think he was bullied. And I feel like people have so much sympathy for him because he was Black. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I feel like y'all are making excuses. Because when it's a white shooter and they start to get to talking about the bullying and
but
whatnot.
But that's the thing. We wanted ours to be that one where, hey, he was bullied. Unfortunately,
we get bullied too.
No, literally, they're so quick to say he's white. So he got bullied and this is why he did it.
That's so true.
But Black people don't get a chance to get bullied. Like,
right. That's
the,
true.
The moment we start sticking up for ourselves, oh, we aggressive and we trying. No,
that's very true.
But dang, but, I really wanted him to be bullied. So
right.
I didn't feel that. Look, that doesn't mean I wanted him to be shooting people. Don't,
right.
Don't say that. But I wanted him to have a reason to have snapped. Not
right.
Not now. I'm upset and I just want to go shoot people.
Right. I mean, like, yeah, I get that. I get that. That's why I didn't want to come right out and be like, you wasn't bullied. Like, I didn't want to come right out and
I didn't
want to
be that person.
But I was like, no, these are, like, situations we have to use discernment because then we give, like, white people even more ammunition against us. You know, when they're like, oh, but this one black person did it and this person did it and you guys didn't say this and y'all didn't. Because, you know, they'd be looking at what the collective is saying.
They want to.
They'd be peeping at what we say and how we react to things and whatnot. And not that it matters because I don't care. But, like, I'm just saying, like, as a group, we have to, like, not, I don't know, take, like, the first story that we hear just because, I don't know, his parents getting on TV. I was just like, I don't.
That didn't help.
I'm like, you guys,
you made me really want to believe that your son was getting bullied. Like, you done got out here and talked about how he was sad and,
talking about he got so robbed and he's from, like, a rich neighborhood. I'm like, you guys know
it's an
your whole neighborhood is rich.
Like, what?
You guys are pretty all well off. Who's jealous?
What
are you for? I don't know, but I don't know. It's a weird situation. They did say that there was probably, like, illegal activity involved.
I mean, that part, now that might, that will get you robbed, but.
Right. But, like, why this is so important is honestly because of the victim that he did shoot. Mm-hmm. He was also black, like, you know, so we can't ignore that.
Yeah.
A lot of people on social media, I'm sure it's teenagers, but. You know how they be, like, they go off the rails. Like, mm-hmm. they were on the victim's page, on the dad's
page,
going in, talking about your son deserves to die, and all of this stuff.
Yes.
And I'm just like, what? They're like, your son is a bully, and da-da-da-da. And, you know, it's like teenagers who have been bullied, so they feel like, you know, they're vindicated.
Yes.
Right.
The age of social media, they folks act like this is the first time a school shooting has ever taken place
right.
that looks similar to this.
Exactly.
This is not someone that just woke up in the morning, walked with the breakfast with the gun. It's not the same. This is not anything new.
Yeah. Right.
But everybody is treating it as if this is the first time. It's not. It's the first time that it is public and you see us.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
And you see us behind it. Like,
yeah.
That's a good point. Because I try to tell people, like, the media picks up on what we react to. Like, even, like, with the whole pandemic stuff and, like, who's vaccinated, who's not. Like, those kind of conversations.
They,
like,
can't
obviously,
wait. They can't wait.
Yeah, they love it. Or, like, you know, when it was police brutality. Yes, it happens at a disadvantage towards us and a disproportionate rate. But... you know, like, there are situations where it's not just us. And then there are situations where, you know, we're in the wrong. We're so in tune with what the news reports and what the police says. Because, I mean, it didn't matter that people were using, like, logic in the situation and was saying, I don't think this man was bullied.
Yeah.
They had to wait for the police to confirm that. And now everybody's switching. And I'm like, okay, let's think about it. With imbalances of power, you know, there's usually not an 18-year-old being bullied by a 15-year-old.
Because
it's possible, but it's not a typical thing.
Unless this one is being, like, he huge.
Right. Kind of, and they were the same size. So I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah, that might be why you was bullied. Because, baby, if a 15-year-old is your size and you 18, you might be getting pushed.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. But I just didn't. I thought it's like he met his match. Type of thing,
but that's also another thing. Maybe he was used to being on my show, and now this 15-year-old not bending and bowing to what he want, and well, now I gotta show you something.
But bullying is a serious issue, though, and
I wish
it was, like, better addressed.
Yeah,
you know, and I wish that people didn't have to wait for people to snap or anything like that, just because I don't know. It like, stuff can stick with you. Like, I'll still think of things like. Not, like, really in, like, a bitter type of way, but, like, stuff will happen in adulthood, and I'm like, whoa, this happened in elementary school.
No,
what's going on?
I'll shy away from doing stuff.
Yeah.
Grown bullies,
for sure.
I'll shy away from doing stuff, like, especially in front of camera stuff, based off of stuff that I heard when I was, like, in elementary.
Right.
Come on in front of this camera. Come on.
Yeah, she won't get in front of the camera one of these days.
One of these days, I got y'all.
For sure. Okay, so I'm glad that we touched on all these important hot topics. Let's get back to the books. Let's get back to reading and whatnot. So what does Black literacy mean to you?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. This is my probably one of my favorite questions I've ever had asked. Black literacy to me is a way for us to keep our history alive, because we've had our history stolen for so long. Mm-hmm. It's not written down. It's not accurate for the most part. I can tell you how far back in my personal history I know. Mm-hmm. But to me, the work that we do, whether it's poetry or prose or novels, it's a little bit of truth in everything that someone writes. Right. And so I think that's just a way of us keeping our history alive, our stories alive. And if we don't write it down, then nobody else will. So it's like, even if it's fiction or not, I just take it all as this is a piece of who my collective diaspora family has.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, lately the trend for anything like Black entertainment has been like trauma and whatnot. Do you find that that's what most of what you read, or do you have like a variety?
I have a lot of variety, and it's funny you mentioned trauma, because my favorite genre is historical fiction. Mm-hmm. And so some of them, a lot of them may have slavery involved or some really tough topics that are in there. But you have such nuance in some of the literature, too, that it's not just about the scary parts or the upsetting pieces. It's about them as a being, as a full-figured person, how they all move forward. There's one author I interviewed not too long ago, Sadika Johnson. She wrote The Yellow Wife. Mm-hmm. Beautiful story. Hard to read in pieces, but the story as a whole was beautiful, because it showed a whole new side of slavery from the woman's perspective, from having to continue not just to keep her family safe, but to keep her mental self safe, being strong enough. Just there's a you just have to read book. Just read
okay,
book.
So the
book is good.
Wife?
The Yellow Wife.
Yes, man.
That is one of 2021's top books that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
okay.
Beautiful book. But it is some hard pieces in there. Yeah. So it's two sides of every coin. Mm-hmm. So I think we can't look forward and think of all the progress and the great things that we do without looking at some of the bad things as well. And for us to not say, I don't want to read about slavery, I don't want to read about any bad stuff, that's a disservice to the people that endured it.
Right.
So I would rather hear about all the good, bad, and ugly that my forefathers and my great-grandparents and all of them did, so I can see how they went through all this and how they're so much greater now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and a lot of our history is not in school systems, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Do you have any plans on like advocating, like maybe to local schools and to like, or school boards to include certain books?
Well, I do.
Okay.
I do on the side.
On the side.
Because the reason I do that on the side, and it's mainly teacher by teacher or it's class by class, because they have a lot of autonomy when it comes to what they want their students to read.
Right.
They have the curriculum as a whole, which is designated by the state, and they'll tell you the topics to cover. But the teachers, they have some flexibility.
That makes me disappointed, low-key.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, but it is easier. It's easier for teachers to follow whatever the curriculum is.
Right.
Especially if they're test school.
Yes.
Right.
So
yeah, I
they don't really,
test school. Mm-hmm.
Once you get past doing all the test prep, you don't want to try and figure out what book can the whole body read and actually understand. And do I want to grade stuff based off of the same book? So
a quick way to advocate for your schools is to reach out to the libraries and have more books included into the libraries that are there.
Wow.
So it gives students more of an opportunity to choose from, because when they have to do assignments, they have to go to their library and get the assignment. So if they're only choosing from what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have the books added to their collection, then they're reading the same thing. They're reading Grapes of Wrath and
Beowulf.
Yes.
Not Beowulf.
Yes.
Or
Sherlock Holmes over and over again.
It's great, but I read it every year.
I like The Great Awakening, though.
I
don't remember
really good, but I remember,
I liked it.
I did.
Okay. But most of the time, I never read the book that they assigned. Yeah. What's that website called? I used to copy straight off of that. I don't even know what it's called.
Good, we're not gonna
plagiarize. Yeah, don't cheat or plagiarize. It was in high school.
Long
time ago.
Very long. So, what you said historical fiction is your favorite book. What's your favorite type of book to read?
Ooh.
Don't say science fiction.
Not at all.
Say even science fiction. I got some good recommendations.
Damn, you like science fiction
but
too?
You can always give me
everything.
Drama.
Ooh.
Yeah. Love me a good drama because it sucks you in. Right. I need something that's gonna hold my attention. So
okay,
anything that's gonna hold my attention, I'll probably do it. So yeah.
Yeah, I like drama books too. You know, when I was growing up, I was really into like reading about like friendships or whatever. Like I don't know, like friend groups in a book and stuff like that. And I had this little thing where I had to read a book 3 times. I don't know why.
I didn't know why. You miss something every time.
Yeah.
You find something new.
That's how that happens. I like.
You learn it from different perspectives
that
as well.
That too, because you've already understood it from things. So you get it that way. Well, now let me see how.
Like, how does she feel?
If I read it in this tone, how are you feeling like this? Yeah.
Right.
I understand.
And I feel like that's what helped me really pick up on, like, how people work and, like, seeing, like, you know, what people do and, like, understanding or whatever. Because I think I do a pretty good job in kind of, like, being diplomatic or whatever.
I try.
But I mean, I stick to my opinions. I stand my ground. But like, I can sometimes see it from people's point of view, and I feel like it came from reading books.
What's your favorite genre?
My favorite genre is definitely like romance novels, or like a drama novel or something like that. Mystery. I like that stuff.
I recommend one too.
Yes, recommended. Do you have a book club?
I do not yet, on purpose.
On purpose, why?
Yes, because there's so many ideas that float around in his head that I want them out first.
Yeah,
what I
sense.
Don't want is a book club that is just a book club.
Right.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want so much more, and I'm trying to set things up to where
it can
be
so much more.
Yes.
You feel comfortable speaking on it, or like?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, dang. I was like, what does she want?
Not yet, but I was just telling you about the hike and read. That was just one of the ideas that floated in my head. But I come across so many Black-owned businesses because I went from doing every Sunday shout-outs to Black-owned businesses, which I've kind of fallen off here recently just because of life.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many great businesses out there
that
I just wish everyone knew existed. They're doing great work. You could collaborate together. You could do all these great projects and grow. Yes, so many avenues.
Yes, there's so many avenues for sure for us. It's an exciting time for like
Black creators. It is. I'm so proud of us.
I am proud of us as well. Dang, what was I going to ask? I haven't seen a sip and read yet.
I'm down for a second.
I haven't seen that.
I don't know how much reading I'm doing.
Right.
But that's how you figure it out.
Or like, I'm a puff and read or whatever. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you'll be deep into the book. Focus.
I know of some, call out these Black-owned wine vendors.
Yes.
I'm not going to call you by name, but you know who you are. Sip and read.
Sip and read. Okay. It's a good idea. I'm just saying, it'll get people into the spirit of reading.
It sure will.
Why do you guys think that grown people don't want to read?
They feel like they've had to for work or for school.
And then they think it's tired. I
got off. I done drove in this traffic. I done had to deal with kids. I don't want to have to do this.
This is a lot of work. Kids do take a lot of time. Mentally, it
just feels like a lot of work to go do a whole bunch of adult stuff.
And then finding a book is like something that you were interested in. Have you ever been, like, I know you have, been in a library or a bookstore, and it's not like you can just go find a book that says, this is the book for me.
Yeah.
It's books. Just, they all look books. The same. They all have just...
And I have a bad habit I do choose by the cover.
I do. I pick up like multiple books
definitely.
And read like 2 chapters and put it down and then been back.
Right.
I have a lot of books as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
I don't feel bad now. Okay.
No, some of them don't deserve to be picked back up. That's okay.
Okay. So you're not one of those people that, like, you have to stick to it.
No.
Okay.
Oh, if I say, this is not for me, this is not for me. Those are usually ones, so I have a free little library.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones I put in the free little library. If I know I'm not gonna read this. I know somebody else will enjoy it. I'm not.
So you like electronic novels?
No.
No? I got the
smell, the book, feel the book. And I make bookmarks. So,
oh, that's cool.
Oh, you got a bookmark in your bag too.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't know it was gonna be how to put your bookmark. Yeah. So I got to feel stuff.
Okay. Dang, banking bookmarks, is it like custom or obviously custom? But like what type of bookmarks? Is it like
it's,
a paper?
If it's, well, if you got the bag, they're
I
like,
do.
Little,
should
little,
I bring
little,
it?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
They all look different. Ooh. And you never know what
you
may
get. Look.
Yes.
That's how it happens.
Yes, you
it's
never know.
Don't ask me to do it again.
Yeah, there is no repeats because sometimes I'll see something. I'll be like, oh, I'm going to turn that
she
into
got
a bookmark.
Book, guys. Oh my gosh. Now I have to
That's
read
a
it.
Book of poetry.
Bro, and I love poetry. Stop. Sorry.
Beautiful book.
How do you know?
Should be right on the side.
Okay, I was like, where is it? Okay.
I hope it didn't fall out.
Oh, good. You have a business card. I'm going to put it on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Did it fall out?
Whoa.
It's art.
Arts.
Abstract
and it got her
pieces.
It got her logo, Book Mecca on here. Look at that.
So you never
Dang.
Know what they're gonna look like. But sometimes I'll just see random things when I'm out and I'm gonna turn that into a bookmark.
That's such a good idea.
Or I'll go.
So that's where your daughter got it from. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's where she got it from.
Maybe.
So wow. True. And I'm sure someone like in your family has like some type of dance and spell. Like your family carries like the
little
things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
they
really
do. They like to sing. So they were really happy that I did piano or something that was like musically related.
Right.
And then when I could dance, they were just like,
oh,
oh yeah, go do that. Go
See?
Do that.
There you go. Find
yeah.
your zone.
Right.
Well,
Everyone has
more
a
happy.
Name.
They were more happy that I could dance because I wasn't supposed to walk. So like.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I was not supposed to do a lot of stuff that I'm doing now. So,
okay.
That's
awesome.
Go ahead.
Like, yeah. Yeah. For that. Man. But yeah, like y'all were saying, you really have to find your lane, find your zone, where you belong, and whatnot. And
mm-hmm.
there's like really a place for everybody. Like, the fact that like you're doing books and whatnot,
yeah.
like some people would think like that's not cool, but I think it's cool.
I love
like, it. Right. I think
there's
it's
so
dope.
Many black authors that you don't know about.
Oh
right.
my God! Yes, there are so many. And the crazy part is, everything that you watch on the TV, even the shows, it's all based off of literature. Period.
Right,
like
right.
even the music,
yes.
it's all based off
yes.
of literature. And you have some of these shows that'll be coming out. These are black authors. You wouldn't even know the authors
right.
behind them.
At all.
You just know the shows.
Yeah.
Hey, Shonda Rhimes, an author.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought it was legit.
She might
yeah.
well,
and look
she
at
writes
her.
Everything else. So yeah.
Right. She wrote the book. Yes. You know, Stacey Abrams is an author.
I didn't
writes,
know that.
She writes steamy novels.
Really?
Steamy.
Okay,
steamy.
Listen.
Yes.
Who's your favorite author? Black author?
James Baldwin.
James
I'm
Baldwin.
Say James Baldwin.
Okay. What's your favorite book by him?
Giovanni's Room.
Dang, she coming out with the answers. Yes. Anytime
she,
anybody asks me about a book, I'm like, yeah.
I don't know why that book just it just spoke to me. That book was like so authentic. I think because it was so honest
mm-hmm.
of his time in Paris, even though it was fictionally based,
yeah.
but it felt so real. Probably why I like historical fiction, because
right.
it just mm-hmm. felt real. And I was like, oh, that's pure love. I love that.
Yeah.
And then when you have like your hard copy book, are you in there with like a highlighter and pen?
If it's my book I'm keeping, yes. I have highlighters and little sticky notes on there, especially if it's a book I really enjoy, I will track the author down
mm-hmm.
so I can talk to him.
Okay.
Or interview.
Wow, yes, ma'am.
I want to know why was this in here? What was it about? I'm trying to figure out like everything. Because it's so much more than just the stories.
Right.
It's based on something that's happened in their life and their upbringing. Just
and like the
lot.
Little excerpts that they put in the beginning,
yes.
it's not enough.
It's
not enough. It's
not.
You know?
It is
so
not.
That is really dope that you actually go out and you interview authors. I've never heard of someone like interviewing authors. Have you? I don't
no.
think I've heard of that. Like
no.
you should get a podcast.
I thought about doing podcasts, and that's still up in the air. Right now, I'm enjoying. We interview on Facebook and on YouTube, and then I post it to IGTV afterwards. Mm-hmm. But we do those live once a month, and those are usually nationally known authors. So it's mm-hmm. either someone who has a New York Times bestseller or
yes, like ma'am.
Killing it.
That is.
I want to talk to them before they blow up and they can't talk to me. So.
That is the mindset.
Very soon you're gonna blow up and they're gonna
exactly that's, true. They're gonna want interview hoping. With you.
I'm hoping so.
Like, hey, can I talk to you now?
Yeah.
But I gotta wait 2 more weeks. Okay.
Like even the first author that I interviewed, Kendra Allen, she's from Dallas,
mm-hmm.
and her book was like blown up, crazy awards everywhere. She got like a Hurst and Wright nomination okay. foundation, and I just hit her up on Instagram in the DM like, hey, yes. can I talk to you?
Can I talk to you?
She was like, what you want to talk about? I was like, I don't know. It's just gonna be random questions. But it's gonna be about your book and about you. And she was like, okay.
I love that.
And it started from there.
Right. Man, that's like what I want to do with the podcast too when it comes to like entrepreneurs that come through mm-hmm. and whatnot. I want to get them before they're like,
yeah.
And then like we can all look back when we're at the top, we can all look back and be like,
remember when we did this?
Yes, absolutely.
I can't wait to do this.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like, and that's such a like a cool thing to visualize mm-hmm. as well. Who's been your favorite to interview?
Ooh, I can't even say who's been my favorite. I've had so many favorites.
Okay, top three.
Top three. Yeah.
Marita Golden.
Okay.
If you don't know who Marita Golden is, she is a gem in the literary world. I mean, she has had dinner with Toni Morrison. She's Ooh. Met. I mean, she's written so many books. Amazing. Marita Golden. Kendra Allen, she was my first, and she is such a joy to interview every time. I have her back. She has a second book out. And, top three. Ooh, that third one is so great. So many to choose from. I have to say my most recent one, Donnie Walton, because her book was just so much fun to read. Then I did like Sadiqa too. Sadiqa, I love you. With Yellow Wife, she was great too.
So do you find yourself reading more from female authors or male authors?
A lot more female authors than male. I had I've interviewed 4 male authors, and I tried to have different types of genres. The most recent one was Cadwell Turnbull. He does science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
His book was off the walls, like bananas, crazy, but so intriguing because you don't really see a lot of Black authors writing science fiction outside of like Octavia Butler. That's probably the most mm-hmm. common name you can think of in science fiction.
Yeah,
but mm-hmm. You're right.
True. Dang,
I don't like science fiction.
And I'm telling you, if you read it, I'm gonna give you an
I read Double Identity and was like,
I'm gonna give you a sneak peek on this one. No guys, no monsters. Think of a Black Lives Matter protest or someone gets shot.
Mm.
They think they're shooting a dog, a wolf, or something, but it's not.
Person?
It's a Black person.
Oh, wow.
Who's a werewolf?
Dang.
Yes. So now all the werewolves are coming Ooh. Out. Yes. Werewolves. It's not just about shooting Black people and police brutality. Now it's about this underworld of all these other.
About to come
yes,
you shoot, baby, you shot the wrong person.
Dang.
Yes, I was wow.
Y'all feel like books are movies in your head?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I gotta see this movie, otherwise I don't want to watch it anymore.
Yeah.
Stop. That's so true. Okay.
Which is also why them books got put down. So.
Man. And then my last question for you is, would you ever write a book?
Yes, I'm in the process of writing one now. I've had a few short stories and poems published, but I have not sat myself down long enough to finish an actual book.
What did you use to get published?
I did a few in magazines and then a few online publications.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So trying to test the waters. I'm a fickle person.
Yeah,
so
I'm thinking about doing something.
Go for it.
It's already started. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going.
Go
is
for
that
it.
Like a lucrative route or no? Is that wrong to ask?
I mean,
know.
It depends on how often you want to keep writing. Because, I mean, if it's good, people going to want to keep buying it.
Right.
You want to keep writing. I think what I'm working on now, it took me some time to actually write it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably won't put anything out, like, right after.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can get some more inspiration, yeah, I'll do it again.
Okay. I think one interview I did with Miss Marita Golden, because she had said it, you know, everybody has a story to tell,
right?
And everybody should write. You should mm-hmm. write something at some point in your life, even if it's for yourself,
right?
You should write something and put it down on paper.
Mm-hmm.
So I am, some of the things that I've written, just short stories, I'll send to folks and just let them read. And
okay,
that's dope. Like.
I would want to write like a children's book.
Oh, that'd be great.
Nice.
Yeah, just because like I'm a first generation Nigerian in America, so I would want to write about that.
Go for it.
Because I grew up in the suburbs,
please.
So I didn't grow up around black
yes.
people.
Can you please
write
this? Write
that.
My kids will read this. So
definitely would want to write something like that.
There you go.
And I used to write like all of in my journals and whatnot. Like I have journals full of stuff. Like I wanted to write, like, I mean, write for movies and write for TV shows. Like Shonda Rhimes is someone to look at, and Ava DuVernay, obviously.
Oh,
but yeah.
Yeah.
So I like her book and books and writing.
Yes.
You said what?
Can I have a little bit of their talent sprinkled on to me?
You got talent.
Everyone
got
the talent.
Can I write
Everyone got some talent.
You can talk.
You're right.
Record it and have somebody else write it. What they got to go
through. True. That is true.
I mean, it's true. Okay, now, I don't know if it's like an introvert type thing, but I don't really talk to people like that.
Talk to yourself.
You can always send the recording to you off, or like just stick to social media. You know what I'm saying? Cause I don't be talking to people like that either. I'd be talking to people through social media.
Girl, I'm so proud of you because I wouldn't do this normally.
Man, I'm proud of you for coming through. Like,
you're
okay, get
you
off the show. Like, yeah.
This year has been getting out of my comfort zone. So, hey, that's what we're doing.
That's very important to do in order to level up.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, honestly, it's been a great conversation with you guys.
Yes,
it actually went by so fast.
I know.
Like,
I was like, we can keep on talking.
Right. We really could. But, gotta keep the time down.
Yeah.
So, you know
and
what?
Marcus said it was cool.
Dang, all right. The memory cards and whatnot, technology, it's all good. Thank you so much
thank
for coming
you.
Through.
Thank
and Elise,
you.
Thank you for coming through as well.
Yeah.
You guys, this is Served on Sundays. It's your girl, Victoria, and I'll see you next week. Thank
all right.
You.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.